what you were saying about your granddaughter has, she really uses what she's learned.
She sure does. She makes things for her kids and the family and whoever she wants to make things for. She's really good. So I'm glad, I'm proud of her.
How long ago was it that she studied with you?
I think about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago.
Hmm.
Three, I think. Or was it four? Something like that.
And how many grandchildren do you have?
I have 46 grandchildren and 28 great.
Wow. And you have 12 children of your own. Wow. Quite a lot.
Are you working this kind of project down at Juneau, or what is it?
No, I'm with the Anchorage Daily News.
Oh.
And I'm working on this project for the Sunday magazine called We Alaskans.
Uh-huh.
And this is a long-term project. It's probably going to take me about 6 months to do the whole thing. Because I have to go around the state to the different artists, and at different times of the year, too. So.
Are they doing this kind of project much down at Anchorage?
Well, when somebody comes up with a worthwhile idea, they'll go for it. So, my editors were very excited about this idea.
You get information from Ayanna too, or what?
I did. They, Rose Fosdick, Rose Fosdick, sent me a book that they did on a treasured heritage. And that really helped a lot with some information, background information about different people. And also the Alaska State Council on the Arts sent me a list of all of their master artists and apprenticeships that had gotten grants. So I've been calling people when I knew that I was going to be up here. That's when I started calling. And I did one other master and apprentice.
Who
in
was that?
Anchorage. Florence Clement and Janet Guo. She's from Hooper Bay. Her specialty was basket weaving. So. Okay.
How long do you plan to be in town?
Just until Friday. Okay. Tell me, let's talk about you. Tell me about how you learned your craft, how you learned to bead, how old you were, and tell me about that.
Am I going to get anything for this, or just do this on...
I'm not planning on paying any money, no.
Well, that's what I mean. There's no time for people to take anybody out from them. We've got things to do in town ourselves. But what is it for?
Okay, it's for the newspaper. I'm taking portraits of all or different master artists with their apprentices. And I'm going to bring this backdrop with me, get the master artists and apprentices together, and photograph them in a formal portrait.
I don't think we're... I don't know about Michelle. She's not feeling that good to be bothered.
Well, I've talked to her about it, and she's going to do it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I think it would be very nice, and I will send you copies of the photographs to So what I wanted you to do for the photograph when we do that is to either wear or bring something that you have beaded, that you have made, and wear that in the portrait. But for the story, I need to interview you to find out a little bit about you and about how you became a master artist.
I should have talked to Michelle before we start this.
Is there something that is bothering you?
Well, what bothered me, yes, I told you at the phone that you picked out the wrong time of week because I wanted to watch out with the kids down there. And I just can't keep out in and out from there.
Well, we
come on, next two, three.
Tell me about yourself.
Well, I've been telling about myself many times. I was in the newspaper here. They had a good article about me, but 2, 3, 4 years ago, I just learned from my mother, and I just never left it.
Huh.
I just keep on doing it. I'm 80 years old now. I'm still doing a lot of beadwork.
I know. Where were you born?
Somewhere in Porcupine River.
In Pine River?
Porcupine River.
Porcupine, oh, okay.
Old Rampart, they call it Old Rampart.
Huh. And where did you grow up?
Port Yukon.
Okay. And you learned from your mother?
Uh-huh.
How many children were in the family?
Nobody.
Just yourself?
Uh-huh.
Just, oh. And so your mother taught you what she
knew.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the things that you made when you were growing up, were these for special occasions or?
Whatever. In those days, we do things for the holidays. More for the holidays.
Hmm.
Like Christmas and New Year, 4th of July.
So then when you grew up and got married and had your children, then you started teaching your children?
Not one of them. Because I got a big family. The kids just come along, kids keep themselves busy, and the school, they went to the school more than they do at home. So not one of them got into the sewing.
Uh-huh.
But Michelle, my granddaughter Michelle did.
Uh-huh. And how did she become your apprentice? Did she come to you and say, Grandma?
Well, no. When she was small, she used to come to visit me all the time, and she picked up things here and there, and she was with me all the time. And when she heard about this, she applied for it.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you work together?
Well, I think we had it for a year. Some year project, I think.
Mm-hmm. And how did you feel about that, about teaching her? How
good. Because she was so easy to be taught.
And did you have any thoughts or feelings about, you know, passing on the tradition or?
Well, I know she's going to keep on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of other people that's the same thing like I do. So the kids are getting on to doing it now. There's a lot of kids that do some things like that now.
The tradition is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this is important for the children to
learn?
Sure. What kind of I know that you're very famous for your beaded dancing slippers. Mm-hmm. What other things do you make?
Anything that people want.
Do you sell the things that you make?
A lot of times.
Uh-huh.
People will be ordering things from.
Okay. Do you keep any things for yourself?
Oh. And that just come automatically. What we want, we make, and we use it or sell it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know that I have seen you many times in Anchorage at the Native Heritage Week.
Mm-hmm.
You come down
there.
And so you must be really involved in keeping the tradition, keeping the
Native
heritage.
Life.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Well, if I don't like it, I wouldn't be doing it.
Are any of your other grandchildren interested in learning the beading?
Oh, they do it.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I can tell that the Fiddle Festival is a favorite time for you.
Well, just like anything else, you know. because this is very important thing that they brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we were kids, it was more in that, until after that you got in rock and roll, and the old fiddlers are gone, like, now they brought it back, so the people are for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember about 5 years ago, the last time I came up here, I photographed the Fiddle Festival, and I remember seeing you there,
mm-hmm.
and you were always out there dancing and visiting people, so
mm-hmm.
This must be a good time to visit people.
Well, that's
too.
Why I want to be
yeah.
down there.
Okay.
The people are coming in, and I want to be there to meet them.
Okay. Well, can you tell me anything else about the artist and apprenticeship, you know, something that you'd want to say about it?
Well, I think it's a very good project. I think they should keep it up, and
mm-hmm.
they should have it often as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how often they can ask for the
mm-hmm.
grant for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you tell me anything about how you feel about you know, keeping this keeping the tradition, the beading tradition, the arts of the things that you have learned? You know, can you tell me anything about how you feel about keeping that alive?
I don't know how to answer you for that.
Okay. Well, how do you feel about the museums having your work?
I think that's very good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, is there anything else that you would like to say?
Nothing else.
No? Okay. Okay. I know that you want to get back,
uh-huh.
so I won't keep you
in. I want to use your phone.
Do you know where your mother learned to be?
I wouldn't know.
How about other women in your family? Any aunts?
I don't know. Native people, like Indians anyway, are always for beadwork, no matter what nationality or what state they are in, they're always for beads.
Okay, I'm just learning about a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, I have to ask questions to find
uh-huh.
out. When you come back tomorrow, you will bring your dancing slippers with you?
I don't know. You want to see a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
You know.
The children that
after
were...
I had the cold very,
yeah.
very much. I'm not... Wouldn't be very active
oh.
around, I know that.
Were you very sick?
Oh, I had the cold too bad. A long time.
The children that I saw putting on their dancing boots before we left, were they your grandchildren?
Uh-huh.
Did you make those boots for them?
Yeah.
Oh. They're beautiful. They're
mm-hmm.
beautiful. Do you make boots for all of your grandchildren?
Not now. I used to.
Huh. Will you be coming to Anchorage again for the festival, for the Heritage Week at the museum?
If they invite me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only time I go down.
Mm. Okay, this is Michelle Varner Peter.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, great.
Okay, let's start. Tell me how old you are and we'll go from there.
Okay, I'm 23.
Okay. And it's M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you just go Peter?
Varner, you go Varner.
V-A-R-N-E-R.
Yeah.
Peter, just like it sounds.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, where were you born?
Born here in the hospital, but originally from Fort Yukon.
Okay, you were born in Fairbanks and grew up in Fort Yukon?
In the very beginning. I moved here when I was 5 to Fairbanks.
Okay. Okay, were you born here or were you born in Fort Yukon?
Everybody's born here. Okay.
So you basically grew up here in Fairbanks,
yeah,
too. Okay. And I talked to your grandmother a little while ago, and she said that none of her children learned how to bead. So, like, your mother didn't.
I think they know how. They just never. None of them kept it up. I mean, nobody had that much interest in it.
So how did you get interested in it?
I spent a lot of time with my grandmother when I was little.
She always just telling me how
I was always interested in it and I always kept it.
And so you keep it up even now?
Oh yeah. I slept on my kids' bed.
But none for you?
I have mixes I made for myself before, but I have so much to make for them that there's not enough time for yourself.
What did you work on when you were doing your project?
We made slippers. I know I made a pair for my mother, and I made a pair for myself then. Oh, that's when I made my mittens. We did mittens, and then I also made the canvas boots then. That's what I remember. It was quite a few years ago.
How long did you study with her when you were doing the formal apprenticeship?
I think we did it for a year.
Really?
I'm not really positive, but I'm pretty sure.
How often did you go over to work with her?
Probably at least once a week. She got me on the project and then I take it home and I fix it there. And she helped me out. Like, when I take the beadwork home to do it at home, and then she helped me put it together and she helped me with the pattern.
Now, were the patterns, were they traditional patterns or things that she made up? Or?
The patterns, I mean, is just like the pattern for the slipper. Because I do beadwork, like the flowers and stuff, I use my own.
You design your own?
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat. So did she teach her how to do that, or is that easy to do?
It's easy to do. You can just draw it, then you can bead it.
Tell me a little bit about, why is it important for you to do this, or, tell me about that, or do you have any feelings about that?
Oh, I guess it's important that it's part of our culture, something you want to keep up. I don't speak Christian, and I don't really live the lifestyle, so it kind of connected me with my own culture.
That's pretty neat. I think it's neat. So, what are you working on now? Do you have any projects in the works?
I was making, this summer I spent a lot of time making barrettes and earrings and stuff like that. And I'm supposed to be making a picture frame for Tana Chief's conference. And I'm supposed to be making a pair of scrubs for my landlady.
So you're pretty busy.
Yeah.
You've got lots of projects. That's great. Do you enjoy it? Do you have fun?
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's something I always like to do. I always like to keep busy with my hands. So I do a lot of sewing and other stuff too.
Taking care of your kids takes a
lot.
How old are your other kids?
I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Oh boy! Oh, so that's really a lot of work then
for babies.
Do you know what this one is?
No.
No. My daughter's 4 now and she's just, between working and then having a family, it's just like there's no time for anything. It's amazing if you have any time to do any beading on your own. So, do you plan on teaching your children?
If they have interest in it, it's not going to force on them, but if they're interested in doing it, I will, once they can sit down long enough to let me kind of need them.
Well, is there anything else that you might want to say or add about your grandmother's art and how you feel about the art, or...
I don't know what you mean.
Well, you know, the beating is an art. It's an art form. It's a native tradition, part of your culture, but it is an art form too.
Yeah.
So, and you know, you're passing it. It's being passed on through you. And I just wonder if you had any thoughts about that.
None that I can think of right now.
No,
I don't think about it.
Okay. Okay, that's fine.
I have to keep my feet on the ground.
Yeah.
You know,
is it expected of you also?
Well, it's called humility. You know, you don't only just learn about carving, you learn humility, because after all, you know, this craft has been around thousands and thousands of years. So the humility part is that when we were going, you know, Tommy's tribe was going to, you know, doing the totem, Chief Johnson Totem Project, it was, the picture was getting broader and broader for me, bigger and bigger, because it was more than just me being a, you know, carving a totem pole. You know, there's thousands of years before I came along, and carving totem poles, you know, and then, I learned more about, you know, about Chief Johnson and Tongass Tribe, because Tongass Tribe was the original settlers here. So, you know, it makes you feel kind of small, you know, when you consider, you know, how rich it was and still is. So I can appreciate it that much more that way than to get, you know, an overly inflated ego about myself, and I have been that way. But you know, my friendship with Nathan and my friendship with Steve and my hardships along the way have forced me to make some changes in my own life. You know, I'm glad, you know, carving came along, because that just definitely takes discipline, and it builds confidence and self-esteem. And a project like the totem pole that I just carved helps you to lift yourself up. But you don't do it by yourself. There's people supporting me along the way. You're not just, you know, through the totem pole project, you know, Chief Johnson project, but all my life. But those things don't come together until, you know, sometimes you're way down and you're trying to dig yourself out.
Yeah.
But you have to look at yourself. And if you don't do that, you know, you continually go the same direction you always go. And you're not happy.
Yeah.
the carving and making money didn't make me happy. I was just finally realizing, you know, that the direction I was going in was, I was like, I was lost in the wilderness, but helping the project, the Totem Project, and, you know, helped me to ground out a lot of things for myself. But see, it also, the main thing is the developing discipline. And not let it get, you know, too big in your head. Yeah, I'm bigger than the rest of
uh-huh.
what's really important.
Interesting. You said your complete name is Kim Sa Dak, do you know?
Kim Sa Dak. No, I don't have a spell now.
Like if I wrote it like this, would somebody know that there was a correct
name? Yeah, my mother, Esther Shea, her number is 225-2957.
2957?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
She could tell you that as well.
Did she give you that name, or did...
Well, she gave that to me and my grandmother. I have two names, and the other one my grandmother gave me was Anatini. And I can't remember that what that means either. And, what's tradition is that my son has a Tlingit name, and so do all my nephews and nieces. And my mother gave them those names. See, that's the name I would have had 200 years ago. I wouldn't be called Israel Chakras. People would call me Kisada. But in the villages, that's where a lot of people are identified, not by their I don't know what they call them really. But I live in Cape. Lots of people will call each other by Tlingit names.
Wendy.
So
is there anything you wanna add to the shop?
I just think it's been a pretty good adventure. I've been in this canoe here, boy, that's definitely, it's a life-size one, so that, it's fun to do a model one, but, doing a bigger one is, I've been looking forward to that.
Yeah. Are you actually going to stay in this one?
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have time to. Probably, but I don't know how long. We're going to go Ben Hole on it. But I just want to say, that it's been a wonderful adventure, and I've been able to realize my dreams. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get here by myself, and I just want to, let people know that. Especially Nathan and a lot of other people, my mother, that without their knowledge and seeing through their own eyes, I just couldn't have made it. There's lots to realize, and if you don't put out, pay attention, you're gonna miss the big picture. And I'm glad they helped me see the big picture. Because, I could have gone through the rest of my life without being able to see the big picture. The big picture, I mean, is, that you can only do it one day at a time. And I've been a good portion of my life looking back, like lots of people do. But, they helped me, through the storm, and I'm very appreciative. But see, that's behind me now, and what I'm doing now is just like a big adventure for me. And it's pretty positive stuff. I like what I'm doing. It's not a job, and that's one thing that's definitely, learning about your heritage and yourself is not a job, because can't put a price on it. You know, the knowledge that the knowledge that I'm gaining is going to be shared with my children and hopefully their children. So that's the big thing for me. I'm not just doing it for myself. And that's something that I learned from my grandfather and Nathan and my mother. Especially Nathan. One time I remember him telling me when I was so self-conscious about dancing. He said, "Well, think about it this way. You're out there mainly to entertain people, but you're dancing for your ancestors and your grandchildren. And listen to the beat. That's it. It's important that don't forget what it's all about. It's about people. And you can't erase who you are, you know. I mean, you can deny it, and that's what a lot of people have done, you know, since for the last 50, 70 years. And you just can't, you just can't deny who you are, you know. But the lack of knowledge is always going to be that, you know, your downfall in that area. Because if you don't know enough, you're just like, you're gonna struggle. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that people like can get together in a workshop like this and just have fun and share what they know. Mm-hmm. Because all these people aren't getting paid to do what they, you know, to be here.
Yeah.
So that's important. They're here because they want to be here and learn.
Right.
And that's what I've always experienced in every class that I've ever taught.
Yeah.
That I'm not only there just to show them what I know, but I can learn something from them too.
Uh-huh. But do you teach classes here, or do you go to school?
I teach here. I've taught some classes here, and I've gone to other places and taught, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
Great way of being able to, you know, to hang out with some pretty, pretty cool people, pretty talented too. It's great. It's fun.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's so short, you know. You can't get it all in. And that, you know, I mean, I wanted to do this go home thing, but you know, new things going on at the same time, you know.
Yeah. They'll have to do it again.
Yeah.
So the people are doing the rattle can do the boat, people are doing the boat can do the rattle. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's been one big adventure for me. And, I'm going to be 39 in March.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like in these last 6 years, even in the last 2 years, it's been just like overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so much has happened in the last 2 years that it's like it amazes me. And when I go down and look at the Chief Johnson pole, it's like it lifts me up because when you create something with your hands, it gives you a good feeling, you know. And when you accomplish something and you can't wait to see it finished, it gives you energy. And but there's a lot of power in poles too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The only thing I can say is that for anybody, even other carvers, your work speaks for itself. You know, it's hard to, you know, put things into words, and I think that's why a lot of artists have that kind of, you know, sometimes they can't speak highly for themselves, but their work speaks for them too. So I go down to Chief Johnson Pole, that's what I think of. Geez, you know, I did this, you know, because it's so big.
Yeah.
And I it gives me a good feeling because it's my hometown and I'll see it, you know, my first pole. But the whole thing about it was, too, is that I carved pole, my first pole, and it was the Chief Johnson pole, and I was honored that my tribe, even considered me. And then, for that matter, it came along with the potlatch. How many carvers can, how many carvers can say that, it just blew me away. They have a carved first pole, and it'd be that prestigious, and then to be celebrated. I'm honored. That's something that, you don't get, not every artist gets to have, to be celebrated that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, even people in Juneau have mentioned the Chief Johnson pole when I told them I was coming
back. Yeah.
It was great. A big thing.
It was really big. We had over 5,000 people come from out of town, and three days of celebrating. Yeah, normally it would have been weeks, continuous all the way around the clock.
Well, that's neat. Well, I don't want to keep you from the job too long.
Yeah.
Thanks, that was a good interview, Israel. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm kind of a little tired today. He said, I didn't change my name then. He said, Howard, when you first came to me in 1982, I thought you were just full of hot air. That was after the apprenticeship, but that's the way my father was, and that's why Nathan was very few, lacking in the compliments, but that's the way the culture was. He came to me and said, I thought you were just a bunch of hot air. And he said, I'm proud of you, because I've had lots of apprentices in the last 20 years, and you're the first to go to Disney. Mm-hmm. But as any artist would tell you, it's taken me 7 years to get here. Mm-hmm. And my personal life was in the mud when I was, at times, I would think, what the heck am I doing? I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm.
But it's all come together.
Oh, yeah. It sure has.
Okay.
I've been married twice, got two kids, one's 16, turned 16 a couple of days ago, and I have 4.5 girls now. But see, it was those two things that happened in your life, you wonder. When you have two marriages, you have two kids, and you're not fulfilling your responsibility, you think about those things, and you wonder, what are they going to think of me when I'm, down the road? I didn't want that on my conscience the rest of my life, I had to make some changes. I'm glad deciding what I wanted to do in my life, and carving came along and, planted me on the ground real well. But that wasn't without Nathan and my mother and a lot of other friends saying, stop and smell the flowers. It was nice that Nathan told me that, because at the end of that program, I told him that apprenticeship, because it encourages you to to go and do more. Mm-hmm. When somebody can compliment you. Mm-hmm. and it makes you feel good about yourself. But it also makes you feel good about yourself when you accomplish something and complete it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, thanks.
The Aztecs. Mm-hmm. So when I was apprenticed with him, I would watch him, and then I would look away and I'd listen to how the Az was hitting the wood, the totem, and then getting that rhythm down. Like when you dance, to listen to the beat. So, listening to him hit the wood, how rhythmic it was, and how fast he was going, and paying attention to what he was doing, but just listening to the rhythm, how the metal was hitting the wood. Those are the things that I paid attention to when I was apprenticing. Sometimes you don't even have to look, you can just hear it. So, with Nathan, it was mostly observing, then doing. He would carve one song, then I would carve the other song. Mm-hmm. So, it was a learning experience.